Hey, hi, Sue. This is Gary. Are you there?
I certainly am.
Good. You are in the United Kingdom as we speak, are you not?
I am in Hampshire.
In Hampshire, and I'm in the United States, and we're going to talk about your asthma. And if I recall it correctly, you put an article on our website over 5 years ago, or
exactly.
Something like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Talking about the fact that you had had severe asthma for many years, and through EFT and primarily through finding core issues, it vanished. Do I have that right in essence?
Absolutely, yes.
It's a yes?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, great. What I'd like to do for the listening audience at home, because not everybody, by the way, you know, gets that result. Some people just simply tap, say, even though I can't breathe well or something, and they may get some temporary relief. But they may or may not have gotten this substantial relief and permanent relief that you've gotten. So we want to look into what it is you did, you know, to bring that about. And I'm wondering if you could just give us a rundown at first. How severe was your asthma, and when did it start?
My asthma started, I believe, very early on in my childhood, I think. From the information I got, probably about 2 to 3 years old. It was quite clear very early on I was allergic to an awful lot of things. I believe at one point I stopped breathing, and my father had to literally shock me into breathing again. We're talking about the 1960s, Gary, here in England, where the medication was very limited. And there were lots of misconceptions about asthma, but our parents did the best they could given the circumstances that they had. Throughout my years, exercise would trigger it off, allergies would trigger it off, the cold would trigger it off. Going into my teenage years, stress triggered it off. I was on steroids, which were taken every day. And on various occasions when my stress levels became high, I was an actress and I was touring, and there were many times when my emotional status was probably not at its best, and I was living in digs all over the country. It got really bad, and then I'd be put on nebulizers. So I would say it was pretty severe. I was on medication on a daily basis from 11, when the Ventolin became available to us in England for me to use, which would have been in the 60s.
Okay. If you would assess the severity of it in the most general of terms, like this, say, let's say in your experience, 10 is the worst asthma you've ever seen with anybody, any place,
mm-hmm.
and 0 is no asthma whatsoever. In general, how severe would your asthma have been over those years?
At its worst, when at the peak, and I remember this particularly, I was touring in a show, I was 7 or 8, and I was put on a nebulizer because my breathing had just completely got out of control.
Okay, could you explain what a nebulizer is for the listeners?
A nebulizer is enforced medication in an environment which is a mask on your face. So my breathing had become so dysfunctional, if you will, that I was I had to get to a doctor, and they put me on this nebulizer, which put through medication in a very slow stream. Immediately this would have controlled the breathing through a drug format, if you like.
Yes. And I am presuming, thank goodness for that nebulizer. What would have happened if you didn't have it?
I guess I would have got even worse, because primarily the fear of not breathing was so ingrained in my mindset that the more fearful the lack of breath, the greater the fear, the more lack of breath.
Yes. Yes, I understand that. Okay. Well, all right. So you live with that severe form of asthma. I'm also curious if you can recall, did the medical profession, your doctors and so on, give you a cause for your asthma?
Varied over the years, I guess.
I'm sorry, you said it varied over the years?
They varied their opinions, but most of it was allergic and a predisposition. You know, there was no real diagnosis. I was just labelled asthmatic, and I had my Ventolins. And I guess I got lost in the medical profession for a while. It was only in the latter years that we had asthma clinics where I was regularly checked and was deemed to be sufficiently asthmatic to require steroids and Ventolin. So effectively we've got two types of medication going on here. For those listeners that may not have an understanding of asthma, the steroidal inhaler is taken every morning and every night. Its purpose is to reduce inflammation, i.e. the reaction of my airways to substances. And the Ventolin was within a usage of whenever I got wheezy.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be every 4 hours.
Sure. Okay. Now, somewhere along the line, you came across EFT.
Right.
How did that happen? How did you first apply EFT? What were the results then? And how did that progress from there?
It's a fascinating story. I was introduced by a client. I was a reflexologist, Phil Am, and I was doing acupressure as a sideline. And I was working on patients within a very large corporation, working on acupressure points. And I noticed, having read TFT, a patient had introduced me to Roger Callahan's work, this is back in 2000, that every time I pressed on the bladder meridian line on the people's backs and asked them about their issues, I would get an immense reaction. And I thought, this is very interesting. There's something going on that's more powerful than I understand. Consequently, I researched, what is this? What is happening that when I press into acupressure points, doing my job as a seated acupressurist therapist within the stress reduction paradigm that I was in, what's going on? Why were these people suddenly having huge emotional shifts? I'm talking to them. They're telling me their problem while I am going into these acupressure points. And there's something very impressive happening.
Yes.
And I researched into it, looked at TFT, found EFT was available for me through the Association of Meridian Therapists in England. Dr. Sylvia Hartman being the leading light within that group. I contacted them immediately. Where can I train? Where can I train as soon as possible? Because what I was seeing was extraordinary results just pressing on acupressure points and talking.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, there had to be something going on here. And in 2003, I trained in the Meridian Energy Therapies with EFT. I then went into advanced. I then looked towards being a trainer. And within that training course, we were told to look at something that was of very great importance to us. And one of my colleagues looked at me and said, Sue, why don't you do your asthma? You might as well have just slapped me, because I became incredibly angry. To do my asthma was beyond EFT.
If I can interject there, because to your belief was to apply EFT or EFT to something like asthma, it would be a ludicrous, ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I became quite angry, and I was blessed with some very, very understanding therapists around me who said, Sue, you're acting out of character. What's your problem? And I said, look, for 45 years, I have had this. I've had doctors tell me. I have had medication. and you're telling me that what you're going to do is going to make this better. You don't understand what I'm going through. I nearly died when I was 4. I have had medication all my life. Give me this protocol and tell me I can shift my asthma. I'm sorry, I can see what it can do. Believe me, I'm embracing it, but not my asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And I became very, very defensive.
If I can interject 1 second. This is a great story, I think, for the listeners to understand, because here, if I understand you correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sue,
yeah.
Here is Sue, who does not, I mean, maybe have some belief in EFT,
yeah.
But have no belief whatsoever that it would come even close to your asthma.
Absolutely not.
And so to argue that EFT would be a placebo in this case, because
mm-hmm.
placebo requires belief,
yeah.
would be ridiculous in and of itself.
Yes.
Okay. So it's really important. So here we have someone who is an absolute, complete, not only a non-believer, I gather you were even hostile towards the process for that purpose.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It, not in any way was that to deride my learnings, because I'd seen massive shifts in my training. I'd seen massive shifts in the people that I applied it to, but that in my mind was different.
Yes.
This was my asthma. This was the big one. And to put EFT on it, it was too far out there.
Yes.
It was just too far out there.
All right. So then go ahead. So I gather you ended up applying asthma, correct?
Now, what was interesting here, there was one very persistent therapist, Andrew Clements. I'll name him because if it had not been for him, I'm questioning how far my process would have gone. He surrogately tapped me for my resistance, my anger, and the fear that clearly he saw. And he said, "This is fear." I said, "No, it isn't. This is my lungs. My lungs don't work. They've never worked." He said, "No, this is fear, Sue, and fear is what's causing you to be like this."
Now that didn't. I'm wondering how well that landed with you. Did you buy it at the time?
No, I was. He knows. He's written subsequently to me. I could have snapped at him. I was out of my personality, if you like. He's challenging this thing I've had for so long. And he's telling me I'm frightened about it. Well, of course I'm frightened about it. You know, yeah, you're talking about the breath, the thing that keeps us alive. And he's challenged me. But he said, "I'm going to surrogate on you. Will you allow me to do that for you?"
And so just so I interject, when you say surrogate, he's then going to tap on himself in behalf of you.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
So consequently, he did this. And about a week later, I woke up, and this is absolutely how it occurred. I woke up and I thought, do you know what? I wonder what would happen if I stopped taking some of my medication. And it's just a thought. I thought, I wonder what would happen. Why don't I just see what would happen?
Well, if I can interject 1 second, Sue, because I think I missed something there.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to surrogate tap for you. This is during this workshop, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's surrogate tapped for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice any improvement in your asthma at that time?
No. What I noticed was this particular day was a resistance had dropped to a possibility that there may be something that I could do.
And would you attribute that to the surrogate tapping or to some other form of tapping you may have, or EFT you may have done, during that workshop?
That I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
All I know is that suddenly one morning I thought, you know what? Why not today? Why not do something? Let's see. Let's be curious. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
I wasn't working from the fear, I was working from curiosity.
Yes.
So I did an ethical approach to this because I was of mindset, well, I want to see how this really works. So I went and booked an interview with my asthma clinic. And I said, what would happen if I reduced my steroid medication? And I have to be honest with you, it was a very negative response from the asthma practitioner that
yes.
we have in England.
Okay.
Basically, she said, it'll get worse. And I said, how do you know that? She said, well, it generally does. And there was something about that that ticked a box with me. And I said, but this is me. How do you know it'll happen with me? She said, well, as a rule, if you stop taking steroid medication, the symptoms will kick in. And you will have more problem with your asthma. I said, but you've never tried to take me off it. I've always been on it. So how do you know that I still need it? Well, she said, that's the rule we work on. Okay, what would happen if I came off it? What's the worst that would happen? You'll get worse. And how will I know I've got worse? Well, in 2 weeks' time, you'll really notice it. And then I asked, how long would I then have to deal with this worseness, as you call it, if I suddenly started taking the medication? She said it'd take about 14 days if you started again with your medication for it to sort itself out.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a very clear picture of what I was dealing with. And that was then up to me to decide what I wanted to do. So do I go with the possibility that I may not need it, and that when I was put on it, I was in a place where I did need it, but maybe I'm now in a place where I don't need it.
At this point, I'm curious about your mental set. Are you connecting your EFT and the surrogate work and whatever you did with this possibility that maybe you don't need your medication?
Yes.
And how did you make that connection? Just that it just showed up, or you?
I got an email from the chap who'd been surrogating me.
Yes.
And he said, how are you feeling? Has anything changed? And I thought, you know what, I think something has.
Ah, okay, good. You may have said that before, but it escaped me. So anyway, continue with the story, please. It's fascinating.
So I have in possession, I've checked my medical profession. I know what I'm going to do. I now have to deal with the implications of it. Do I take a gamble? And come off this medication and see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? I've got my Ventolin. Or do I stay on it for the rest of my life? And I looked at the timeline, if you will, of my asthma and thought, well, I wasn't always on steroids. I was put on steroids when it was at its worst, but for some reason I've been left on them. So maybe there's a possibility I don't need them now. So shall we try this? So I tapped on the fear of coming off medication, and I tapped on the fear of what the practitioner had said to me, that it's going to get worse. So I tapped all about the fear of coming off this medication, and that's really where I concentrated it.
Mm-hmm.
I then had your specialty DVDs. And I was working my way through them, and I came, synchronicity being as it is, came across the DVD, constricted breathing. So I thought, I'll just tap along with this. And I'm tapping along my constricted breathing. Now, you can correct me, because I'm sure this is in the DVD. I've not looked at it since, but there was a phrase within it about forgiveness.
Yes.
And that was with tapping along, I suddenly had an absolute aha moment, which was about my asthma and forgiveness, about my ownership of it, about where it came from, the world that was around me with my asthma as a child, my parents. All of the people that were within my world doing the best that they could, given the resources they had at that time, doing everything out of love protection, safety, but in doing so had set up a whole set of rules that I had written on my wall. And for those listeners, that refers to the writings on the wall.
Yes.
I call it my blackboard. I call it my blackboard because you can rub things out.
Yeah, and just in case the listeners are not familiar with that forgiveness phraseology, let me paraphrase it here if I can. I think what I was doing on those DVDs was bringing up something like, even though I have this, whatever the problem may be, asthma, fear, whatever the case may be, I forgive myself for any contribution I may have made to this problem, and I forgive anyone else who may have contributed to this problem. Mm-hmm. Now, that particular phrase, you know, just for education purposes, is a bit global, but it tends to bring up stuff like you talked about, more specific events, more specific things that you can get to. Mm-hmm. And so if I have it right, you started, well, you were actually borrowing benefits by tapping along with our thing. And so all of a sudden, bingo, here comes cascade of events that were then, you know, emotional type events.
Oh, Gary, I was sitting there bawling my eyes out.
Yeah, that were likely behind the asthma.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
So I'm tapping and immediately the forgiveness, and I looked at where did all this asthma world, my label of asthma come from, these rules, and it started off with recognizing the fact that I'd used my asthma. I had used my asthma to deal with things in my life that I did not wish to deal with.
So you were hiding behind the asthma in a way?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
For instance, a flashback came to me that I guess I'd covered up, because that's what we do. We're good at it.
Sure.
I covered up the fact that when I was running for my school in 800 and I started to be overtaken by someone else, which meant I wouldn't win, I then started to have a breathing difficulty.
Mm-hmm. As an excuse for not winning?
Yep.
Okay.
And in dealing with this, you know, that leaves an unpleasant taste in your mouth. You've got to accept, you know, yeah, I did this. Similarly, there were times when I was an actress, I was touring all over the country, week by week in a different venue, in a different theatre, and I got locked into a show, I couldn't get out of it, and I resented it. And because I resented it, I got very stressful. And because I got stressful, all of my body was reacting far more sensitively, if you like, to all these strange places I was staying in.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of the tour, I was fine. After 6 months, every place I went into, I was having an asthma attack.
Uh-huh.
Because I was so stressed, my body wasn't working as well as it should have done. And this is when the nebulizers came in. And this is when I went on steroids and ended up on some very strong steroids, if I remember at that time. But I wanted to get out. I wanted to get out of the showbiz world. There was something that I was not admitting to myself, that I, at 30, I was where everybody thought I should be, but I didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't deal with that. I couldn't deal with the letdown, the failure, the reality that all my life I'd trained to do this job, and I didn't want to do it, and I couldn't admit it. It was easier to blame it on my asthma.
Yes.
And I did. I got out of the tour based on my asthma.
Well, yes, and so these are realizations, if I'm hearing it right, that were coming up as a result of your using EFT.
Yeah.
And they are also specific events. To me, but you correct me because you're the one that went through this. To me, those wouldn't be the foundational ones. If something is foundational, even under that, that would drive this. Did you have any sense of that?
Fear of failure.
Yes. Okay. And I, you know, apparently you're all very successful with it, but I'm just pointing out, when you get to fear of failure, which all of that reflect you're just talking about. There's usually one or more specific events in the past where you actually failed and you were rejected for it, or you had some other emotional result about it, like nobody loves me, I can't get love if I fail like this. I'm making all this up, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But there are specific things like that that if you can zero in on them, you have even a better shot still of getting to the core of these issues. Now, I don't know if you found those or not. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I've worked on it a lot.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you quite absolutely when I was 8, I was doing a maths lesson. My brother had just failed in England an exam that allowed you to either go to the top schools or the not the top schools. And these are, for everyone who doesn't live in England, this is the grammar school selection 11 plus. My brother had just failed, and it meant that he was going to a not so good school. And I was in the maths lesson. I'm 2 years younger, and I get a maths question wrong. And the headmaster turned to me and he looked at me and said, "You are turning out just like your brother."
Now, let me stop you right there. When you say that right now, do you get an emotional spike or not?
No, because I have tapped so much on it.
Okay. I think that's important. Now, whether or not that is, you know, the core issue, the specific event, and there may be more.
I'm
trying to be a teacher here for the moment. Whether or not that is the one or not, it is certainly an important one.
Yeah.
And to then use EFT on something like that, so that you no longer have the emotional need to use your asthma to excuse yourself through life.
Yeah.
The crutch no longer needs to be there. Mm. The body can then heal normally. At least that's my philosophy.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you would adjust that anyway, agree with it, disagree, what?
I totally agree. The realization that I was terrified of failure came after the asthma resolution. Because what I realized was that I, at age 7, 8, had decided that I had to be more than I was. And if I had to be more than, it required more energy, more sustained everything.
Sure.
I had to be more than. Because quite clearly, the headmaster had found me wanting in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to really address this. So at age 8, I decided that I had to really, really, really work at this. And in doing so, I had learned that I had to expend an awful lot of energy in just maintaining my level of more than.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, sure. This is the kind of thing people deal with all the time. In fact, this sort of thing, they don't even realize it's a problem because it's been so routine for them for so many years that they think nothing of the emotional conflict that goes on there quite often. It just sort of gets put into, well, that's normal for me kind of thing.
That's how I do it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was I was energetically exhausted. Now, when you look at the absolute paradox, I went into a profession that did exactly the same thing. It chose me. So acting, I mean, you know, it's almost laughable. I went into a profession where I was selected on how good I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might as well set myself up for a whole series of painful life events.
Well, particularly acting, because there's all kinds of people trying to get the part.
Yeah.
And the odds of you, quote, failing, unquote, are very high. Are they not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's really obvious now, isn't it?
Yes.
How ridiculous was that?
Yes.
But at the time, you know, no connection. So I spend a lot of energy trying to be more than, and I think it's only probably in the last 4 years I've learnt about that I don't have to be 100%. My whole system was geared up to trying to be more than because someone found me less.
Yes. I have, Sue, had this conversation many times. With people, not necessarily with asthma, with all kinds of other physical ailments, they are echoing the same thing. That is, they, for lack of a better term, they don't fit. They have to match up. They don't match up whatever,
mm-hmm.
all of which they agree is illogical when they look at it, but emotionally they need to do that. But it shows up, you know, with irritable bowel syndrome. It shows up with headaches. It shows
migraines.
Up with asthma and all migraines and all kinds of different physical manifestations. But as far as I can tell from this observational chair, the real cause of all of this is unresolved emotional stuff, the conflicts that our system carries around over the years on stuff like I don't quite fit, I'm not good enough, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not lovable, you know, this sort of thing. That's a huge conflict. It takes a huge amount of energy, far more than we're aware of.
Yeah.
And it then drops our immune system's ability.
Absolutely.
And then here comes, we're susceptible to these things, and here they show up, you know.
Mm.
So this story you're telling, while it's an asthma-related story, it's a very general story for many, 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 many people.
What is interesting is when I went through, if we go back to the forgiveness issue, and there's me tapping along with it, I'd gone through my resolution that I forgave myself for using it at that point in time. And I looked at myself where I was then, and using that wonderful phrase which I've been teaching my students, limited resources. Given the limited resources that I had at that point, because even yesterday I had limited resources, today I have more resources than I had yesterday.
Yes.
As our learning is a continual process. So looking back even 4 years, 5 years, I could forgive myself because I acted out of, you know, good intentions, but with limited resources. And I found that the most easiest way to shift. I forgive myself because I acted as I did because I had limited resources at that time. But I did the best that I could do. And I forgive myself, and I'm okay with that.
Yes, and you... go ahead.
That shift was massive.
Yeah, you said that very nicely. Just for the listeners, the way I tend to say that is, even though so-and-so did whatever it was to me, and I feel badly about that, I'm open to forgiving them because they were likely doing the best they could, given their own resources, meaning their background,
yeah.
their beliefs.
Writing on the wall.
Yeah, writing on the walls and all of these things that are part of, you know, their makeup to this point.
Mm-hmm.
People are always, you know, acting. I mean, it's a great belief. Whether it's an absolutely true belief or not, well, that could be debatable, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great place to come from because it's accurate enough that people are doing the best they can given their
Absolutely.
Resources. You know, given their reasons for anger over the years and so on and all of that, here it goes. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I similarly had a shift, and my mother had died probably 6 months before in that period, and I had a massive shift on forgiving the primary carers in my world. Primary carers, for those listeners, it involves those people that influence you most in your growing phase where you are taking from the world the rules that become the beliefs that your behavior comes from.
Sure.
And that would have been the teachers and your parents. And my mother was, you know, trying to deal with an asthmatic child who'd stopped breathing. She had limited resources in real terms of medicine because there was no Ventolin. She had to resort to boiling kettles in my room and staying with me most of the night when these really bad attacks occurred. So I saw the fear. My mother staying with me all night meant she was fearful. So I'm starting to write this. This is a really scary thing because mummy's with me all night.
Yes.
And then whilst I was going through this process of looking at forgiveness, the next massive shift was, again, my lovely mother had done the very best she could with these limited resources, and out of love and out of safety and trying to do what she knew best, had given me some rules Now, these rules were my writings on my wall, and they consisted of, don't go outside in the cold without something on your mouth because you'll wheeze. Don't go under the bed because the dust sets you off. Don't get in the dog basket with a dog like your brother because you know what happens, your wheezing gets worse. And they went on. You know, this list was there to protect me, to let me know. But guess what it did? I now know that I was carrying on with those rules
sure.
that I never dared challenge.
Of course. I'm curious, when you were using your EFT for the asthma, did you treat those various statements by your mother as specific events?
Yeah, I broke them down into what I call fear statements, going on what was the most fearful. The most fearful was uncontrolled breathing, which often occurred when I went outside.
Yes.
Now, when you're fearful, the one thing you don't want to do is put yourself into the position of, you know, being in the state of not breathing. With asthma, it is so entrenched, you'll do anything other than, you know, you avoid it.
Yes.
Away from the pain, if you like. So what I never did was challenge it. You know,
okay.
It's there. It's the rule. Everyone knows, you know, massive
sure.
generalization. If you go out in the cold and run around, you're going to get wheezy.
Sure.
Well, I did when I was a child. But when I was 30, how do I know? I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed.
Yes, you just carried it on.
If I exercised,
okay.
would I get wheezy? I don't know. So I was scared. So instead of exercising and trekking it out, I didn't. I took a Ventolin.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't exercise without Ventolin. I was too scared. So I was medicating even before the event.
Yes.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Too scary.
Okay.
Avoid the pain.
Okay, good. Sue, that was really, that was going to be very helpful, you know, to a lot of people. And we're going to put this out. I don't think I asked you up front if it was okay to record this, and if I had your permission. I gather I do, correct?
You do have my permission.
And for other people to listen to it. I just want to wrap up with the idea that it's been something like 5 years now since you used EFT and all the things we're talking about. And from that point to this point, you correct me if I'm wrong, you've had zero asthma medications, and you've had no recurrence of asthma at all. Am I correct in that?
Now, this is where it's interesting.
Uh-huh.
I had a significant traumatic event, another bereavement, and my breathing went a little off. And immediately, I recognized that I was going, this is my asthma back.
Uh-huh.
I got cross. How can it be my asthma back? I've tapped it. What I hadn't recognized was, because it was a bereavement of my last remaining parent, this was a big one. And my stress level, managing an estate, doing all of the stuff on my own, my stress levels had kicked in.
Sure.
And I wasn't doing the amount of tapping that I should have been. Subsequently, I got assistance from someone else to work on me and got my levels back down again. But it was stress.
Sure.
And one of the big aha moments that I had was, you know, I never did work out whether my breathing was because I was out of breath, and that's normal, or was I having asthma? Because the two had blurred.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so scared of asthma, I didn't even let myself get out of breath.
Sure. I think the important thing there, and then we're going to wrap this up, Sue, but there's an important message there, and that is people can use EFT for their various physical ailments,
mm-hmm.
and it can leave, like yours apparently did, but then some other day it shows up,
yeah.
and those that are involved with the medical model, for example, say, oh, well, the therapy didn't work in the first place because it showed up again. And I would question that, because in my observation, what happened was the cause for the asthma in the first place showed up again. In this case, it was a bereavement case.
Yeah.
And so this kind of stress is there, and it shows up in breathing difficulties, asthma-like symptoms.
Yes.
So that doesn't mean the EFT didn't work. It means you've got a new issue coming up.
Brand new aspect.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, aspect or new issue, whatever you want to call it, it's still the same in the same basket, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to recognize, you know, very important,
yes.
because our ailments become barometers to the fact that we've got emotional issues that we need to resolve, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now, you know, I go to the gym. I still don't know where my Ventolin is at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it is, it's 3 years out of date. Very relaxed attitude to it, and it's the story that when I start working with students, it's the one I tell them.
Yes.
And I share with them my abject anger, my disbelief that you could do something this big with EFT.
Yeah.
Because I want them to know that, you know, these things can change.
Yes.
And they can. And when you see, you know, what you can do with this, and Gary, I was with you in when we were working on serious diseases back in 2004, and working with rheumatoid arthritis and bloods and all sorts. You know,
that's with other people on stage, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you realize there's some extraordinary source of power in this process. But when it comes to applying it to yourself, you know, yeah, it's a different
okay.
And you have to listen to what your internal argument is, and thank goodness someone was there to support me and go, you know, we can do this.
Yes. Okay, Sue, I really want to thank you. This is so nice of you to spend this time with me and all the listeners. It's going to be of help to many, so thank you so much.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye now.